First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Lord, bless your word today. God, empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit. And Lord, we ask that Jesus Christ be honored here and help us to do that. May we worship you today as a group, but also as individuals. We need you, Lord, and I ask for your help. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Bless every person here, and amen. I titled this message, Called Unto Holiness. Called Unto Holiness. I want to say right at the beginning that the Christian life is not something you did one time. The Christian life is not something you... The Christian life is a walk, the Bible tells us here. And it's a continuous walk. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The Christian life is a new walk. Before you were a Christian, you were walking one way, and after you're saved, you walk in another way. It's a radical change. The Christian life is a radical change. And I don't care if you were saved when you were 8 or if you were saved when you were 80, it is still a continuous walk. I want to tell you this morning that He works in His children. He works in His children. He works every minute of every hour of every day in His children. He never leaves us alone. You know, we hear a lot these days about fellas we call deadbeat dads. You've heard that term, a deadbeat dad? Well, I'm here to tell you today, our Heavenly Father is no deadbeat dad. He is concerned. He's watching over us. He's working in us. He's helping us. He's strengthening us. He's changing us all along. I have three things here from our text concerning salvation. Number one, salvation is a calling. Salvation is a calling. Number two, salvation is a call to holiness. And number three, salvation includes sanctification. Salvation includes sanctification. So number one, salvation is a calling. We know, I guess most of us have read Romans chapter 8 where the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So the Bible tells us that we're called. And you know, in the mind of God, this is all a finished deal. It's a finished In the mind of God, I'm already glorified. But I'm not. But in his mind, I am. Them he called, he justified. And them he justified, he glorified. So salvation is a calling. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began." It's a holy calling, isn't it? We've been called. Salvation is a calling. And God is calling out a people. He's calling out a people every day. He may not be working. It seems like he's not working much here. But there's other parts in the world he seems to be working very much so. There's been times here he's worked a lot. What I'm telling you is, he's never not working. There's always people getting saved. There's always people that God is calling out. I wish he'd call out some here, don't you? We ought to pray that way. Lord, send an awakening. I hope you pray for an awakening. Lord, send a revival. I hope you pray for a revival. Lord, give us souls. God, add to our church. I hope you pray that way, every one of you. We need that. There's a calling. God is calling out a people. He's calling out a flock. The Bible says he's calling out a people that no man can number. So how about you? Have you been called? Proverbs 1:24 says, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded." It'd be a sad thing to refuse God's call, wouldn't it? Salvation is a calling. Number two, salvation is a call to holiness.
Amen.
Salvation is a call to holiness. Verse 7, if you would, look back at it. "For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." The Bible tells us we're to walk in such a way as to please God. Verse 1, the Bible says that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. We're to walk in such a manner, in such a way, as to please the Lord. We've been called with a holy calling. We've not been called with a unholy or unclean calling. That word unclean, that means immorality. We're to be a moral people. We're to be a holy people. Modern Christianity today, unfortunately, modern Christianity has thrown off holiness. You can't tell the world from the Christians. As one fellow said, a boat in the water is a thing of beauty, but if you get water in the boat, you've got problems. Well, we've got the world in the church, so to speak.
Yep.
So, if you preach holiness, which I do, if you preach holiness, people will call you a legalist. They'll say, you're preaching the law. You're preaching. Well, listen, God hadn't changed his mind about things. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. There's no excuse. You can't make excuses for doing wrong. You can't say I'm under grace and so I'll just sin. Bible says God forbid. It's still wrong to do wrong, isn't it? It's still right to do right. But modern Christianity has thrown off holiness, and you'll be labeled, if you say anything about being holy, people will think you're some kind of fanatic or some kind of... I'm talking about people that say they're Christians. But as one old evangelist said, he said, "I'd rather be a legalist than an illegalist." God has called us unto holiness. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're to try to be... do you think Christ was holy? Do you think Christ did anything that was wrong? Then why should we think we can? The things you watch on the television, you think Jesus would sit in a room with you?
It's good.
I don't think anybody's going to get to heaven and say, boy, I wish I'd have drunk a little more liquor down there. I wish I'd have watched a little more nudity on television while I was down there. I wish I'd have cheated and stole a little more while I was down there. I'm just trying to tell you, a Christian ought to have a desire to be holy. I wish I'd told a little more dirty stories while I was down there. The Holy Spirit is, if you're a Christian, biggest word in the dictionary, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's trying to guide you, direct you, change you, help you, work on you. We need to be more sensitive. I need to be more sensitive. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He's trying to conform us into the image of Christ. We need to be a holy people. We need to be conformed to the image of His Son. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." I'm glad it said that, because most people think that we're to be holy when we get to heaven, but we live like the devil here. We're to live holy in this present world. We're to be more like Christ in this present world. We're to put off ungodliness in this present world. We're to humble ourselves in this present world. The Bible says that same grace that saves people is teaching grace. It's teaching. If you're a Christian, that grace is teaching you. It's teaching you to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, the problem with Christianity is it's kind of a dingy gray these days. It's just enough to make a big mess. we don't show our collars bold enough. We're to be conformed. Salvation is a call, but salvation is a call to holiness, isn't it? It's a call to holiness. We're to be different. We're to be a different people than the world. If you talk like the world and act like the world, then there's no difference between you and the world. But we ought to be different. Salvation is, people ought to wonder, but that when they meet you or around you for a time, they ought to say, well, there's something different about that person. They're not like everybody else. They don't talk like everybody else. They don't behave like everybody else. They don't laugh at the lewdness like everybody else. We're to be different. It's a call. Salvation is a call, but it's a call to holiness. Thirdly, salvation includes sanctification. And I say that because a lot of people think they can be saved, not sanctified. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. As an older gentleman preacher friend, he's went to be with the Lord. He used to say, if you didn't get your change, you got shortchanged. You need to go back and get your change. Salvation changes people, doesn't it? It changes people. It includes sanctification. Verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." That word peculiar, you know, when you think of peculiar, you think of somebody's a little odd when we use the word peculiar. But what the Bible means there is God owns us. Now, we've got several wives in the building today, but only one of them is peculiar, and that's Evelyn. She's peculiar to me. Right? She's my wife. We're a peculiar people. There's lots of people in the world, but we're God's people. We're His peculiar people. And we are to live pure. The Bible says that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. Now I want you to take your Bible, and you can hold your place there. I don't know if we'll get back to 1 Thessalonians, but I want you to look at 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Stay with me now. 1 Peter chapter 1. As the old black preachers say, come here, come here. Stay with me. 1 Peter, y'all getting sleepy or something, right? It's hot in here, I guess, maybe. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I told you about the two little boys, they sitting in the church pew, and one of them fell asleep. And the preacher got real loud and kind of woke him up a little bit, and he elbowed his brother, and he said, change the channel. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We've had a holy calling, haven't we? God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're not to fashion ourselves according to the former lust. We're to be different. Hopefully you did that stuff maybe in your ignorance, but now you know better. If you don't know better before today, I'm telling you now, you know better. You know better. We're not to live like the world. But we're to be like verse 15, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means in all manner of living. Be holy. Be holy. Holiness is more than outside things too, by the way. You can be clean on the outside and be filthy on the inside. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We're strangers and pilgrims here. We shouldn't behave like the rest of the world. We're just traveling through here if you're a Christian. This is not where we're going to settle down. This is not our home. We're just, have you ever got off the interstate and you realized you was in the bad part of town? And you got a little nervous? Well, we're in the bad part of town, but this is not where we're going. We're going somewhere else. We're going somewhere else. We're strangers and pilgrims, and we're not to act like everybody else. We're to be different. And you know, the Bible says here that there's a war. A Christian life is a warfare, isn't it? What do I mean by that? I mean this. You still have the same improper thoughts and the same improper desires. That's all still around. You have to battle that, don't you? It's all still there. Don't y'all look at me like that. It's still there. So you go to the four-way stop and the guy leaves before it is your turn. The guy leaves before and you say things, do things, and beep a horn, act like a bozo. We all still got the same. We got the old man in us, don't we? It's still in there. But we're to war against it. We're not to let it reign. We're to put it down, aren't we? We're to mortify the flesh. That verse 11 says, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Oh, I'd like to tell you when I got saved, I quit having all the bad thoughts and all the things I wanted to do that was wrong. That all went away, but that's not true. It didn't all go away. It's all still around. I have to war against that. Do you have to war against that? It's like, what was it, ragu or prego? Still, it's in there. I don't remember which one it was now, but it's in there. It's still in there. We're strangers and pilgrims here, and we are fighting a battle. This Christianity's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle. And the Word of God is the instrument of sanctification. In other words, how do I become a better Christian? How do I become more holy? And by the way, you ought to desire to become more holy. If you don't have a desire to be more like Christ, there's something wrong with your salvation experience. There ought to be a part of you that says, I want to be more like God wants me to be. As the song says, I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. I want to be a better Christian. Do you want to be a better Christian? I hope so. The Word of God is the instrument of sanctification. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We need everybody here, if you know Christ, if you're a Christian, even if you don't know Christ, you still need to hear the Word of God. But if you're a Christian, you need the Word of God to sanctify you, to make you more like Him, to tell you how to live. How are you going to know? You know, I've said this several times, probably from this pulpit. Most of this book was written to tell us how to live. A great majority of this book was written to tell us how to live. So if you want to follow you know how us guys are, we'll buy something, a new appliance or some kind of piece of furniture or something has to be put together. And we don't need no stinking owner's manual. I don't need the directions. I've put 1,000 of these together. Right? I'm telling you, if you want to live the Christian life, you're going to need the owner's manual here. Amen. You're going to need the directions. You're going to need the directions. I don't remember one of the kids used to say, read the constructions, Daddy. You need to know the directions, aren't you? And that's in this book here. So, He's working on us, isn't he? Salvation includes sanctification. You say, well, so-and-so says they're a Christian. Well, do they have a desire to live for God? I don't care if so-and-so is your daughter or your son or your mother or your dad or your brother or your sister. If they're not wanting to do right, you might want to question that. It's okay. Let me tell you something. Twice in my life, I've confronted people that said they were Christians and they're living like a devil. It's not an easy thing to do. But if you do it in love, it goes good. And I believe both these gentlemen that I approached were saved. But they needed somebody to confront them. You know, every once in a while, we need somebody to help us. We need somebody to, if we get off the path, if we get off the road, we need somebody to help us, don't we? It's not caring about people, just let them go on over the hill. It's caring about people to say, you know something? You say you're a Christian, but you're living crazy. You're living wrong right now. Are you sure you're a Christian? Now, if they get mad at you, that's both people that I confronted did not get mad at me. Both people said, you know, you're right. I'm messed up. I need help. But if they get mad at you, then there's a good chance they don't have anything. Let me ask you, do you care about holiness? You care about holiness? People, you know, you're the only Bible that some people ever read. If you act and talk and giggle and carry on just at the worldly things and the lewd things of this world, just like everybody else where you work or down at the office or at school or wherever you're at, if you act just like they do, what do they see? I'll tell you what they see. I didn't get saved. I was 25. I wasn't saved at 5 or 8 or 10. And I'll tell you what they say. That guy's a hypocrite. That woman's a hypocrite. That cussing deacon's a jerk. That preacher's he's a whoremonger. He's no different than I am. We're to live different, folks. We're to be different. If you have no desire to live for Him, if you have no hatred of sin, even in yourself, I hate sin in myself. Do you hate sin in yourself? I hate it. I hate it in myself. If you're not vexed by this wicked world, if this world don't drive you crazy, it drives me crazy. By that I mean this. I can't believe how wicked it is. I can't believe how far we've come as a nation into wickedness. I can't believe the government condones the wickedness it condones. I'm vexed here. I'm not happy here. I'm upset with the wickedness of this world. It grieves me that you can't get away from it. It's everywhere. If sin don't bother you, then I'll just be honest with you. I don't think you have any reason to believe you're a Christian. If sin don't bother you. Does the Holy Spirit convict you when you do wrong? Is he guiding you? Is he teaching you? Is he changing you? Is he humbling you? You know, one of our biggest problems is pride. We'll fight pride till the grave. Is he humbling you? Are you one thing at home and another thing at church? I remember I knew a young man and his grandmother was a quote-unquote bigwig at the church. And he told me, and this was his grandmother. He said, she's phony. He said, she's mean to my grandpa and she cusses like a sailor at home. He said, she's a phony. Well, listen. What kind of life is that to lead before your grandchildren or your children? Can I tell you something? Be real. Be real. Your kids know you're not perfect. Your grandkids know you're not perfect. All these sinners out here, they know you're not perfect. But be real. They want you to be real. Don't be something at home and then something else here. When I was a kid, my parents got me a little puzzle. It was called Phony Baloney. Did y'all ever see that? It looked like a stick of baloney, and it was all cut up, and you had to put it together. And there's a lot of Christians that's just phony baloney. I don't want to be phony baloney, do you? I want to be real. In the book of Thessalonians, Paul describes those people as the word of God didn't come to them in word only, but also in power. In other words, it was life changing. There's a lot of times people will make a profession, but it's not life changing. It's not life changing. If you want to read about that, read the parable of the sower, where Jesus talks about the soils. There's a lot of people, they've received the word with joy, but there wasn't any root. It didn't do anything. It's a temporary thing. I've seen that in my lifetime. I'm sure you have too. It's a temporary thing. I remember a young man. We were friends growing up, and he and his wife was having marital problems. So they got him to come to church, and he did. He came to church, and he come forward, and he made a profession, but he never changed. The problem was, he thought, if I'll come forward, God will fix my marriage. Well, God never promised us to do that kind of thing. Now, he might. But when you trust Christ, you're trusting Christ to save your soul, not fix your marriage. He was looking for something temporal. He was looking for something physical. He wasn't looking for something spiritual. Well, that same young man, a few years later, he was a drug user. He never quit drugs, as far as I know. And he eventually murdered a man. He's in jail right now as I stand here, as far as I know. I've tried to reach out to him. Can't find out how to get a hold of him. I'm just trying to tell you that salvation changes a person. Salvation changes a person. Salvation, it can come in word only. You can get a bunch of people to raise their hand and say, I want to be a Christian, and they'll walk out of the room and you'll never see them again or hear from them again. I've knocked on people's doors and got people to repeat a prayer at the door at the same time. They were trying to hurry me up because they were wanting to finish their television show, but they did repeat a prayer. Who does that help? Doesn't help anybody, does it? If you say you're a Christian, that same grace that brought salvation to you is teaching you. Look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8. Or verse 7. Let's read verse 7 too. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. I get tired of that preacher telling us how to live. Well, you just going to have to get tired, I guess. Did you hear me? You just going to have to get tired. I'm not changing, amen. I'm going to tell you how to live. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says we're to live holy. The Bible says we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. The Bible says we're to be more like Him. Verse 8, he therefore that despiseth not man. but God. Did you hear that? So if you get mad at the preacher for telling you the truth, you're not really just getting mad at the preacher, are you? If he's telling you the truth. You're getting mad at the Lord. If the preacher's giving you the book, I'm doing my best this morning to give you the book. Again, I don't know how else to say it, except every one of us, are going to wish we were more holy. I don't think that when we all get to heaven, you're going to come up to me and say, "Preacher, I wish you hadn't preached so much on trying to be holy." I don't think you're going to say that. I don't think you're going to say, "Preacher, I wish our church would have served booze like the other church down the road does, or I wish we'd have done some of these other things that people are doing." You know, churches are going crazy if you hadn't noticed. Churches are bringing in immoral stuff to attract a crowd. Well, that shouldn't surprise you that they can attract a crowd. But as one man said, what you want them with is what you want them to. Right? So if it takes hard rock music and alcohol to get them in, you got to keep it coming. But the fact of the matter is, we're to be holy. We're to be holy. If you despise holy living, you despise God. Because we're to be holy. You say, "Well, I don't think that stuff matters." Well, I'm here to tell you today it does matter. It does matter. You might think, you know, a lot of people, when you talk about being holy, trying to live holy. Y'all want to live holy? I want to live holy. And I don't mean I got a certain haircut. I carry a certain Bible. I'm talking about holy on the inside. I want to be holy. I want my thoughts to be holy. I want my life to be holy. I want my actions to be holy. I want what I put into my mind to be holy. I want to be holy. A lot of people say, "Well, nobody's perfect." Well, I know that. That's a cop-out, isn't it? For those of us that's raised children, when you said, "Go in there and pick up your room," if little Johnny turned around and said, "Nobody's perfect," you just said, "Come here." You'd explain to little Johnny that we understand nobody's perfect, but then go pick up your room. Right? We're to be. I'm glad he's patient with it, with all of us, aren't you? I'm glad. You say, "Preacher, you think you've arrived?" No, the further I go in the Lord, the worse I feel like I am. Did y'all get that? Longer I'm saved and the more I walk with the Lord, the worse I see myself. It's like the light has gotten brighter and it showed all the dust. It showed all the bad stuff, you know. That's the bad thing about the sunlight coming in the window. It shows you ladies hadn't dusted in about 3 weeks. Or longer. But, you know, this light in our window shows us stuff, don't it? Shows us stuff. You say, "Preacher, we'll never, again, we will never attain." But that doesn't excuse us from trying to be more like Him. And I believe, this is not in the Bible what I'm getting ready to tell you, but this is my experience and what I believe. I believe the more we try to be like Him, the more He'll bless us. I believe that. I think that to be the case, don't you?
Yes.
The more we try to be like him, the more he'll bless us. Thank you for your attention this morning. God bless y'all. I love y'all. Y'all know that, don't you? I have to tell you that after I beat up on you a little bit. I want you to be holy. I want to be holy. I want to be different. Praise the Lord. Les, you come ahead. You and Ginger.